Daniel pushed the roan as much as he dared, loping him a while, then slowing him to a trot to keep from breaking him down. The trot kept him impatient, and in a short while, he jumped the roan into a run again.
Come on, Houston.
Finally, ahead of him, he saw the man and the mules. Daniel waved his hat wildly.
Milo! Milo Seldom! Whoa!
If Seldom saw him, he gave no sign.
If I was an Indian, I could kill him and he'd never know what hit him.
Yeah! Frustrated, Daniel kept heeling the roan. Two men burst out of a thicket and stopped their horses in the trail directly in front of him. Too late, Daniel tried to rein around them. His roan bumped one of the horses, and Daniel almost went down. When he grabbed Houston's mane and pulled himself back into the saddle, he was staring into the awesome bore of a rifle that looked like a San Jacinto cannon. The fat man's mirthless smile cut across his face again.
Now, farmer, I'm purely disappointed in you. Always been my misfortune that I trusted people too much, and often as not, they've cashed me in. Now, you wasn't figuring on going on down yonder and telling Milo Seldom we was coming, was ye?
Farmer, if there was any profit to be got out of it, I'd shoot you.
No. Seems to me like old Milo might be tickled to see this friend of his. Might be glad to treat with us, knowing we wouldn't shy away from taking desperate measures if and we was forced to it.
Smart thing for us to do is to take this farmer and follow along and keep out of sight. First time he stops, we'll work around him and get ahead. Then we'll step out and surprise him as he comes up on us.
It seemed to Daniel that if Milo Seldom had even one eye open, or his ears weren't plugged with dirt, he ought to be able to see or hear them going around him and be on the cuidado. If Milo Seldom was half the frontiersman he appeared to be, he would end up doing the trapping rather than being trapped. It was all for nothing. Bodine and his fat partner set up position in a mott beside the trail. Bodine kept the long barrel of his rifle pointed at Daniel's head. Milo Seldom came along directly, head down. If 30 war-painted Comanches had been astraddle of the trail, he would not have seen them. The fat man eased out of the mott and Bodine followed, silently motioning for Daniel to do likewise.
Well now, Milo, ain't this a pleasant surprise?
Milo Seldom stared in astonishment. He never made an effort to lift the rifle from his lap.
No, Fanch, it ain't overly pleasant.
Fanch grinned.
See you taking good care of our mules.
They was your mules. They've been mine the last several days.
We're mighty glad you got the use of them, Milo. But now we're taking possession again. We hope you got no strong objections.
I sure do.
They're as strong as old Bodine's rifle that he's got pointed at your farmer friend? Or as strong as this Jim Bowie frog sticker I got here in my hand?
Fanch waved his big Bowie knife and passed it so near to Seldom's throat that Seldom could almost taste the forged steel. Seldom shook his head in resignation.
No, they ain't that strong.
Many a thing I don't like about you, Milo. But one thing a man's got to give you credit for. You're reasonable.
Daniel decided they weren't going to hurt him or Seldom. If that had been their intention, they would have done it by now and not wasted all the talk. He could see that Seldom was losing the mules and their burden, and with them, the dreams of the silver mine. Daniel's fear subsided, and anger rose in its place. He was angrier at Seldom than at Bodine and Fanch, and let it be known.
If you'd been paying attention, you wouldn't have let yourself get caught this away. I'd done everything but set off a cannon.
Seldom made no effort to reply. He looked like a dog that had been given a couple of licks with the double of a rope.
You find that something else about Milo. He ain't dependable. Oh, he's dandy at hatching up schemes, but mighty slack at seeing them through. Careless is what he is.
Boy, give me that!
He reached for Seldom's rifle. Bodine still had his own rifle pointed at Daniel.
You'll have to get off of that horse, farmer. We gotta take your horse to keep you from any notion of following after us. A little walk back to the farm will give you plenty of time to consider your follies.
Now, you got no right to take my horse.
We'll turn him loose down the trail someplace. If he decides to come home, fine. If he don't, maybe you can get him to work it out.
He poked at Daniel with the rifle.
Now get on down.
Down rode Lod Provost, healing the plow mule Hezekiah. The plow harness still on him.
Who in the...
Odin turned in surprise and let the rifle sag. Daniel grabbed it and pushed it away from him, trying to twist it from the tall man's hands. Instinctively, Bodine pulled the trigger. The ball passed harmlessly by. The suddenness of it spooked Daniel's horse, and it plunged forward into Bodine's. Off balance, Daniel sailed out over the horse's neck and straight into the tall man. Together, they went over the rump of Bodine's startled mount, which kicked and wheeled away. Bodine hit the ground with Daniel on top of him.
Oh, my arm! Damn you, farmer, you done busted my arm!
Daniel desperately grabbed Bodine's rifle by its hot barrel, not realizing for a moment that it was useless until he took time to reload it. No, not useless. It would make an awesome club. He thought then of Fanch and the bowie knife and spun around, the rifle over his shoulder and ready to swing in self-defense. He held it that way, for in the moment of confusion, Seldom had come into possession of the knife, and the situation had reversed itself. Seldom held the blade so that the point was at Fanch's belly.
Now, Fanch, you just hold yourself real still. I always had an evil temptation to slice a fat man open and see if anything besides grease would spill out. Don't do nothing foolish that might help Satan overcome my Christian nature.
Bodine squirmed on the ground.
My arm! My God, ain't nobody gonna pay attention to my broken arm!
Which arm is it, Bodine?
He looked for himself and seemed disappointed.
His left one. Friend Daniel, you ought to have broke his right arm instead. That's the one he shoots with.
Daniel momentarily turned his attention to his younger brother, sitting on the lathered mule.
Lod, what the devil do you mean following after me that away? I told you to stay home.
How come you to bust that feller's arm?
Lod, it's a wonder you didn't kill that poor old mule running him that away. Now get yourself home and tell the folks I'm going with Mr. Seldom.
Milo Seldom blinked.
I don't remember saying nothing of that kind.
It's plain to me that you need help, even if you don't see it. I can at least keep you from riding off into a ditch or something.
Oh, goddamn arm! I want somebody to help me!
Seldom paid no attention to Bodine.
Well, you did show a right smart gumption toward these two evildoers.
Daniel, how come you broke that feller's arm?
Fanch, you get down there and see if you can't do something that'll shut him up. I swear, there ain't nothing gets my hide to crawling like listening to a grown man cry.
You got any whiskey, Milo? It'd sure help him with his miseries.
A clear head will let him contemplate his sins and help him decide to set his feet aright upon the path to glory. And now it's time for me to be setting my feet upon the path to San Antonio. I swear, interruptions like this sure do slow man up. Catch Bodine's and Fanch's horses, will you, Daniel? Them two boys won't cause us no worry if they ain't mounted.
The fat Fanch was sweating.
You ain't stealing our horses and setting us afoot out here, are you, Milo?
Not stealing. Like Bodine told my friend a while ago, we'll turn the horses loose someplace down that way. If they decide to come back to you, that's just fine. If they don't, you'll find walking is good for your wind.
But Bodine's got a broken arm.
He ain't gonna walk on his arm.
Lod, you best be on your way home now.
Daniel wanted to see his brother well on the road before he left these men here. He didn't want them catching up to Lod and taking the mule away from him.
What am I going to tell Pa? He's apt to be a little pouty. The plowing ain't finished yet. You never did tell me how you come to bust that feller's arm.
Go home, Lod.
Daniel watched his brother ride over the hill and wondered what tangled tale he would tell when he got there. Fanch stood glumly watching, hands clasped under his sagging belly as Seldom and Daniel rode off, leading the pack mules and the two men's horses. Bodine sat in the trail, long legs stretched out in front of him, splinted arm hanging in a sling made from the other sleeve.
Can't nobody have pity on a poor, crippled old man?